Michael Libby in the Business News Hour is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, Moving Iowa Forward, iowaabi.org. And Iowa Softwater, softwater for you, your family, and your business starts with iasoftwater.com.
Oh, well, welcome back. I was just reading my notes here about Alan Fire. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a business consultant, has Group Dynamic. He's also a talented public speaker, the author of a new book, The Group Dynamic Field Guide, 51 Ideas Leaders Can Use Today. He's also the founder of the Night of Gluttony.
The annual Night of Gluttony.
Yeah, let's get it right. Welcome, Alan. Good to have you back.
Thanks so much, Michael.
We haven't seen each other for a couple of days.
Yeah. It's, how you been?
Yeah. Thank God. Doing all right. Shy and withdrawn, Alan Fire is not. Before we get into the book and talk about some cool things that you've just written about.
Sure.
Tell us about the Night of Gluttony. I think this is... And it's tonight.
It's tonight. My best friend Matt Priest and I, he's a teacher out in Waukee, and we've known each other for years. But I don't even remember how it got started, but we just wanted to meet and get together and have a drink and an appetizer or dinner. And we couldn't find a time. We're both really busy. And we eventually settled on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving because we were both school teachers at the time,
right.
So we didn't have school the next day. And then we decided to turn it into an annual tradition, and it's evolved into a situation where we get a room at the Des Moines Marriott downtown. And then we start in like about an hour.
You're pretty excited.
6 o'clock, totally. I've got to really stay focused on this interview. But we'll start our traditional starting spot is Django.
Yeah.
And we'll start with duck frites tonight and some kind of cocktail, and we'll go from there.
So it's just
we want to hit Bubba for sure.
You got to go next door to Magnolia. As a matter of fact, I was there yesterday.
Okay.
And I warned them that you might be by.
It's, you know, we're only there for an hour. We're only in a place for an hour, a drink and an appetizer and a very large glass of water. And then we move on to the next destination and just go till about midnight or so.
Till midnight.
Yeah.
So well, that's not so bad. So if you start at 6, it's only 6 hours.
No, we're old men. We're not okay. Pushing it till, you know, we're in our 40s, Michael. We're not going to push it till 2 in the morning
You've even spoken of the annual Night of Gluttony.
Yeah. Yeah, it was part of that Pachakcha. I think a lot of people have heard of the Pachakcha Nights, so I've done a couple of those, and one of those was on the annual Night of Gluttony. And the broader message is keep having fun, stay young, don't fall into a mold of if you're in your 40s, this is exactly what you do.
What happens when you're in your 60s?
I can't wait to find out. I'm serious about that. I can't wait to find out. I'm not afraid of aging.
Son, I'll take you out and we'll have a moment of gluttony. It's not a night anymore. It just kind of, you know, it's a 10 minutes worth of gluttony. And then I'm...
That might be enough to do it.
I'm snoring. All right. let's talk about your book. It is called, where'd it go? Group Dynamic Field Guide, 51 Ideas Leaders Can Use Today. So why 51? Did you run out? One a week, maybe? I thought maybe you might go for?
We have 120 or so. We wanted to keep it manageable. 51 is sort of a fun number because it's a bit of a tease. You know, like, why 51? I mean, you kind of just proved why why we named it that. I'll tell you.
If it had been 52, see? So
then it's one per week,
one
and
week,
that's
yeah,
divisible just, by too many numbers. Yeah, no. So there are really 50 tips. Each reading... It's just one actionable tip for a leader, and then 51 is write your own. Like you've heard, everybody's heard a lot of leadership learning from a lot of different places, so the 51st is a blank page where you write your own.
And what I liked about this, this is a new book by Alan Fire, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about where you can get it here in just a moment. It's such a quick read. I mean, boom, bada boom, bada boom. Now you have exercises that we must do, as a teacher would, I would suspect a teacher would have.
Right.
These are I didn't do the exercises, but I did.
Michael.
I didn't have time. I had to prepare for you.
Make time, man.
I had to dream about the Night of Gluttony. But my favorite was number 29.
Okay.
Was meet your people one-on-one.
Okay.
I really like that. You know, I think that if more leaders, business people, and I don't care where it is, if they actually took the time to sit down with their people, and have a conversation,
here's why they don't. Let's talk about why they don't for a second.
Because time,
and they think they're already doing it.
They think they're already doing
it. Right, because you know you walk by somebody's desk and you visit with them. You know, you make small talk for a few minutes to build the relationship.
How about that
ball
game?
Then you assign the task and you go back to your office and you think, there, I'm connecting with my people. But when you approach people that way. When you're the boss, you don't realize it. You know, once you become a leader, you think you're the same person you were before. And yet, almost everybody, as good as their relationship is with folks, as nice as they are, their boss first, you know, friend second. And so nobody's really connecting during that time. Everybody's just waiting. Why did the boss come over here to talk to me? And then they wait for the assignment. And then, aha. So if leaders actually sit down with their people one-on-one, half hour a week is not too much to ask. And let the person, let that direct report, that employee set the agenda for the first 10 minutes or so. Then you set the agenda for the next 10 minutes. And not formally, just kind of informally divide it into thirds. And then make sure at the end of the conversation you devote some time talking about the future. But the number one purpose of that one-on-one time is to build the relationship so that in times of great stress, in times of change, in times when people might second-guess things because they don't know each other real well, in other situations, in this situation, there's trust because time has been devoted.
Because you build on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when that meeting is sacred each week, it sends the message to everybody, you're important.
Mm. Alan Fier, ladies and gentlemen, the brand new book is Group Dynamics, 51 Ideas for the Leaders Can Use, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, or today.
What's your favorite? I mean, you've got all these thoughts. What do you like out of this?
I like the pointer on avoiding the use of the phrase, that would be great.
Hmm.
Leaders ought to avoid use of the phrase, that would be great.
Why?
There are a couple reasons. One is borderline silly, but if you've seen the movie Office Space, you know what I'm talking about. In the movie Office Space, the boss is easily mockable because he's the stereotypical bad boss, and he ends every request with, that would be great. And so if you don't have a great relationship with your folks and you use that phrase, they're mocking you behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the more significant reason, and some people might think I'm picky about this, but I disagree. People are motivated to get things done when there's a reason why, when there's a rationale, when there's an outcome for their behavior. And anytime you end a task assignment with the phrase, that would be great, you've just lost the opportunity to provide a specific reason for doing things.
So, because it's so general.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, hey, Michael, if you could get those 30 account reviews done by the end of January, that'd be great. There's two things going on there, actually. One is, yeah, we've been not specific enough, and we'll cover that in a second. But also, I haven't actually assigned a task to you.
No, you haven't.
No. If instead I say, will you please get these 30 account reviews done by the end of January? If you do, and let's eliminate that would be great, let's give a reason. If you do, we'll be ahead of schedule for February, or we'll be ahead of the curve for figuring out what leads we need to contact in March, or whatever. It doesn't take any more
time. Give rationale for what you're asking.
Yeah, and it doesn't take any more time. It takes a little bit more thought. But when you give things thought, and every single time you make a request or assign a task, you give a rationale that's just quite brief and inarguable, it's more motivating.
Alan Fier is who we're talking about. You know, Alan, you just said the magic word, you have to think.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. So many leaders, so many business people, so many managers, so many folks that have folks that answer to them do so much by rote that sometimes they don't think.
Well, we may not have always had the best role models either. And so then we just emulate, you know, what we've seen in the past.
Mm. Okay. All right. The book is a short, quick read. It does have, I will warn you in advance, there are exercises to do, things that you must accomplish. And why do you do that? Why are you asking folks to rate themselves or write something down that's going to kind of make them think?
Well, I think that people look for ways to take action, but sometimes they're still in that bubble. They're like, well, I did that. I stopped saying that would be great. I started scheduling one-on-ones with people. But did anybody else notice? So to be slightly more specific about what Michael's talking about, each little reading ends with, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, how much you're doing this already.
Right.
3 lines to reflect on yourself, and then 5 lines to record feedback from others. The implication there being that you're going to talk to a colleague, somebody you report to, or maybe somebody you trust who reports to you, that you can say, hey, it's my intention to stop using the word should. Yeah, that's another reading. That's why we ought to avoid using the word should. How am I doing on that? Have I let it slip in? Is that something you've noticed? Because then you're being conscious and intentional. You haven't just read it and think, oh, that's a good idea. the book challenges you to actually implement it and see how you're doing.
You know, this with some tweak, not that you need any help from me, but with some tweaking on this whole thing, you could turn this into a relationship book with husbands, wives, and significant others.
I had not thought of that. I have turned it into a book for youth, for student leaders. In my previous life, I was a band instructor for 19 years. And I got my start in student leadership. So I did create a youth version of it that mm-hmm. just came out last week.
And people are saying to you, what would you do? Just do the same thing for youth?
The introduction to the youth book begins with, hey, wait a second. Didn't you just write this book only for grown-ups? Isn't this the same book just written for kids or for youth?
And the answer?
Yep. That's exactly what I did.
Well, see, you can now repurpose everything for couples and significant others.
I'll think about that.
Maybe make the cover a little bit more jovial.
Yeah, instead of clinical.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a sort of a clinical cover.
His name is Alan Fear. He's a delightful fire. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, man.
I was thinking about the Night of Gluttony.
As am I.
As you are.
We're staying on task, aren't we? We're staying focused.
Okay, yeah, I think so. Alan Fire, ladies and gentlemen, he is the author of his new book. Yeah, now your other book is what?
The Group Dynamic Field Guide for Youth.
No.
51 Ideas Student Leaders Can Use Today.
No, previous to this. Is this your first book?
Yeah. The first book, the one that we're here talking about, is The Group Dynamic Field Guide,
right.
51 Ideas Leaders Can Use Today.
I was under the impression you had written one prior to this.
It's, you know, I come off as a real academic, Michael.
Yeah, you do.
I think I must be. No, you may have read my blog some.
That's probably it. Yeah. 47 ideas on how you, too, can enjoy a night of gluttony.
That's it. That's the next one.
I know.
Rate yourself.
Was I able to quaff that beer in record time? He is a fun guy, Alan Fire. If you don't know anything about him, look him up. It is Group Dynamic. That is his consulting agency. And he is, as a matter of fact, and we need to tell the story because we are so close to this and because Night of Gluttony is about to start and I want to get you while you're saying.
Sure.
Tell us the small business story.
Oh, just my connection to small business Saturday?
Yeah, get this, ladies and gentlemen. This is, and we were just talking about this before we went on the air tonight.
Well, I happen to be the person who does team development for the team that came up with Small Business Saturday and the Shop Small initiative. And it's not actually American Express. It's a PR firm that American Express retained, and they work hand in hand. I mean, they're at the American – they're literally up the street from each other, and they're at the American Express offices quite regularly to coordinate this this campaign. But it's been going on for 7 years now, and there's a lot of young people. You know, we talk about millennials and all that. This is a relatively young team, and the people who were in that brainstorming meeting were young folks who –
So this is back in 2009 when folks were sitting around and American Express said what?
Well, people picture American Express as being for high rollers and for, you know, big business and big spenders. And it's important for everybody to realize this can be a credit card for small businesses to accept and for every consumer to use. So that's a part of what created that initiative. The Amex Open Network as well for small business. That was another thing that came out of that initiative as well. But it's quite an award-winning campaign, and it's so pervasive.
Oh, it is. It is very pervasive.
Yeah.
I mean, last year alone, $16.3 billion were spent on Small Business Saturday. Mm-hmm. The first year they did it was $5 billion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has grown exponentially, and bazillions of people take part in this, yes.
My father-in-law runs the Ben Franklin on the square in Winterset.
Yeah?
And in the last couple of years, his sales on Small Business Saturday have exceeded his Black Friday sales. And he's talked to other retailers who have experienced the same thing.
See, it's one of the reasons that we have been pounding hard on this whole idea of Small Business Saturday, get more people involved. And the really cool thing about it is American Express, through the Small Business Saturday, has all kinds of stuff that you can download, printable things that you can utilize to make your Small Business Saturday successful. Good
and
stuff.
If you use your American Express card, if you register your American Express card and use it at a Small Business Saturday participant, you get double the points. And it's not just this Saturday. It's like through the end of the year.
Yeah, it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. My book. Did you want to know where you could buy my book?
Absolutely.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Because a lot of people ask where to buy it. And I confess that my gut reaction is to say, well, it's available on Amazon. And it is available on Amazon. And at my website, at the bottom of every page, believe me, I'm making it incredibly easy for people to order my book. But let's talk small businesses where it's available.
It's probably local.
Plot Twist Books in Ankeny. And Beaverdale Books here in Des Moines are both selling the Group Dynamic Field Guide. And the Group Dynamic Field Guide for Youth is available exclusively at Pine Creek Limited on the square in Winterset.
Winterset.
It is worth a trip down to Winterset. We're very proud of our county courthouse
Madison
square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's every storefront is full. And we've got artisans. We've got gift shops. We've got the Ben Franklin. We've got a Mexican restaurant, a Chinese restaurant. There's just an awful lot to do on that square. We're very proud of
it. Go to Winterset, ladies and gentlemen. Small Business Saturday.
Yeah, right on.
There you go.
Come on down.
Alan Fire, ladies and gentlemen. He is the author of the new book, Group Dynamic Field Guide for Leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Have a happy night of gluttony.
Thanks so much, Michael. I hope you have a pleasant evening as well.
And what we didn't tell everybody is that tomorrow you run 3 miles.
That is the traditional closing to the annual Night of Gluttony, is we get up the next morning and we run 3 miles. And so that's what keeps us in check. It's what gets us to bed by midnight instead of two.
We have
this commitment so that we can go back and
smart man
and get back to the real world.
All right, we've got to take an aside. Find out what happened today on Wall Street. Alan, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Wall Street Report comes up next. What happened to the markets? We will tell all when the Business News Hour continues.